Welcome to the Edge of the Headlights podcast. My name is Rob, and sitting across from me like normal, Marty, what are you doing? Ugh. Marty, sitting across from me tonight.
Yeah.
So how do you like this bleeding weather? It's definitely shorts weather here in South Dakota, folks. It was like 42 degrees like the last 5 days.
Yeah, it was almost 50 today.
Oh.
It's fucking unreal. It's January.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the coldest month of the year around here.
Yeah, we're supposed to be really chilly. We had 1 week.
Yeah, not even a week.
And then it went to 30, and now we're in the 40s. Most of what little snow we got is fucking melting out. It's pretty wild. I don't know. It's wild. I'm actually wanting at least one blizzard at some point. You know what I mean? I think March is going to fuck
us. April is going to fuck us.
But that's going to be bad.
If you go off the old wives' tale, 90 days for fog, third week of April, actually the 24th of April, we're going to get like 24 inches of snow in 12 hours. It'll be that nice, heavy, wet stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's gross. But at that time of year, I don't give a shit either. It can snow all at once. Anytime really after January, I don't really care what it does because it's not going to be around long.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been pretty fucking wild. Yeah, we had fog for like fucking 5 days every night, all morning, fog. Just it looked like West Coast. Honestly, it looked like the Northwest.
All we need is a giant Golden Gate Bridge, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like the Northwest. It's chilly but not super cold, foggy everywhere. And yeah, it's been wild.
Yeah, this mic is going to piss me off tonight if it's shaking like last week. So I have a question for our listeners. What did you think of last week's interview with Will from WTCW, Paranormal Group?
They can't answer us.
I know, but I'm just saying, let us know. Do you think we're not live? I know this. technically we're live.
We're as live as Raw used to be back in the day, where they would record it and then show it live, 2 days later. Really cool stuff. Like I said, I can't say enough good stuff about what the guy's doing.
Yep.
It's fantastic. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting if he goes back to that Skinwalker. He's going to camp out at night.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you got to tell us what happens. You got to come on afterwards. But just be safe.
Yeah.
Because we talked to him after we recorded for like another 45 minutes or so.
Probably a good 30, 40 minutes.
Yep.
But yeah, good guy. A good head and shoulder. Expect a lot out of him, actually. No pressure, man.
No pressure. Just do right. And remember the little people.
Expect a lot.
Well, speaking of big things is going to be.
I was going to say, speaking of little people.
No, I would say, speaking of big things, did you hear about this thing called a macabre?
I don't think so.
It's being built, it's like the size of 20 Empire State Buildings.
Ugh.
It's with this XXX mentality that the huge new project to be built in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia seems to be conceived. The macabre, a structure that will be the size of 20 Empire State Buildings, is an architectural giant in the shape of a cube, measuring 400 meters length, width, and height. The building will be the heart of Riyadh. The public investment fund, whose board is led by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, why do they fucking have like 10 damn names? Whatever, the Crown Prince, describes the project as an exceptional milestone that will feature the latest innovation in technologies. The design of Mukab will have unique facilities and be one of the largest structures in the world, with a shape that guarantees maximum use of space. But what will be inside the macabre? Residential, this is what's going to be in there. Residential areas, hotels, shops, cultural, and tourist attractions will be spread over the 2 million square meters.
Jesus.
The aim of this mega project is to provide unique living, working, and leisure experiences where everything is in 15-minute walk away.
Yeah.
As well as its own internal transport system, explains Piff. Of course, the construction of Mukab will take some time. The project is scheduled to be completed by 2030. That's not really that long.
No.
That's 6 years.
Yeah, that's relatively fast for something like that, of that magnitude. Huh.
And they're also building that line across that city. Do they know something? They're building like all these 15-minute communities.
Yeah. And there again, that goes into a whole theory on certain stuff. But no, it reminds me of
I'm gonna die.
it reminds me of like the whole dome cities of fucking Logan's Run. It is just kind of what it reminds me. Mm-hmm. But, eesh. Yeah, I'd be able to go to this other one through this little tram. But yeah, everything you need is here, so you don't need to worry about it.
And when you hit age 35, you're gonna die.
And you're gonna die when you're 30. It's nope. Cool. It's cool. You'll be fine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, that's interesting.
It is very interesting because this seems to be the way you got people building bunkers. Now they're building 15-minute cities in the shape of a cube. That's pretty structurally sound.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Even for that
size. Even if it's, maybe they should just build another pyramid. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, right. No, instead they're going to build a Borg cube. That's great. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Well, now if you get in this Mukab, you have to do this. You have to get a Miglu M5. You know what that is?
No.
I don't think we mentioned it last week. I might have. And Miglu M5 promises to redefine maritime living, but at the cost, it'll burn a hole through your pocket. While the M5 has yet to set sail, Miglu, the company responsible for the M5, is calling the vessel the world's first luxury super submarine. Built as the future of yachting, this high-end hybrid vessel will be capable of four-week underwater voyages, thus offering unprecedented security and secluded exploration, making it an ideal haven for discerning adventurers and rich billionaires. It's like exclamation marks. I can just hear that. According to the airmail, the submersible is set to be an impressive 450 feet in length, capable of fitting 20 passengers and 40 crew members while diving to depths of 250 meters. On board, there's a ton of stuff to keep you entertained: jet skis, kite surfing, paddle boarding, and even exploring with one or two of the mini submarines or catching a helicopter ride. Adding to its lure, the M5 will also feature two pools, a jacuzzi, and a cafe for culinary delights. The vessel offers a 36-seat dining room with glass walls, providing guests with spectacular views of the sea and marine life. And if that is not enough, you can amp up your experience with extras like a swimming pool, wine cellar, or cinema. So this comes with an extra cost. All this luxury comes with a hefty price tag. The Miglu M5 is estimated to cost around AUD 3 billion. What the hell is that?
Australian dollars,
$3 billion. So that's be less than American, right? Oof. I don't know. I'm not making fun of Australia, but I just don't know. So $3 billion for construction alone, without even adding those optional bells and whistles. Despite pitching the Miglu M5 over the past several months, CEO Christian Gumpole was faced challenged in attracting buyers, with the safety remaining a major concerns, particularly after the Titan submersible tragedy in June last year.
Right.
He added that the Miglu is in negotiation with a number of interested parties from all over the world who are motivated to own the world's first super yacht submarine hybrid. While the Miglu M5 surely offers a luxurious bunker-like experience beneath the waves, its invulnerability will surely be in question, with safety features likely analyzed by prospective buyers.
Yeah, basically what I hear is you don't want to build a bunker to escape the bad things we know are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Here, enjoy this luxury yacht that you can stay down for 4 weeks at a time. Pop
no,
up
it's a yacht.
And go under.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, if you don't want to live so underground.
We need to start looking at names in Hollywood. That could possibly be the next Jeffrey Epstein, because you know something bad's going to happen on that yacht. Because it'll be in international waters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it just disappeared for 4 weeks. And plus, you got to figure it's big enough to land helicopters on.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's pretty good size.
This is just setting up to have badness written all over it.
Right. I mean, I already got mine ordered, but.
Oh, thanks. Am I a part of the crew now or not?
Well, you got to play your cards right. We'll see.
Oh, okay. We'll see how it is.
We'll see where it
goes. You probably got a pretty pink one, didn't you?
Well, yeah. Why would I not? Come on.
I have to ask a question. If you had, like, ships have names in that,
right?
What would you name it?
Oh, geez, I have no idea.
I would name it the SS Underdog.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I have no idea. I certainly wouldn't want to be one of those douchey nautical namers. But I have no idea.
What do you mean? I have more money, USS, I have more money than you?
The what? Oh, yeah,
the
yeah,
SS,
yeah,
I have
yeah.
more money than you.
Yeah, yeah, no, like, oh, my crusty dinghy. Oh, fuck off, D-bag. Jesus, man, you bought a boat and that's what you did. You go to hell. You go straight to hell.
You know how we were talking about how life can exist anywhere?
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened on the space station?
I don't know.
All right. Now, I have to ask this question. It's part of the article. If you could live outside the International Space Station, is theoretically at best, could any... You can't live out there, outside no. space. Could any living organism on Earth manage it?
I imagine there has to be some shit, yeah.
It is. They found lichen growing on the outside of the International Space Station.
Really?
Yeah. Ugh, they put it in, and they're like, yeah, it's totally normal. It has chlorophyll production. The radiation doesn't hurt it any.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's actually 100 degrees below freezing or 1,000 degrees above, depending on your location on the space station. Yep. Radiation. Astronauts on a 6-month mission receive up to 2,000 millisieverts of radiation per NASA. For comparison, personnel tasked with Chernobyl cleanup received 120.
Yeah.
A shooting gallery with high, very high velocity ammo, 50-caliber bullet travels for 0.86 kilometers per second. Meteorites can travel 40 kilometers in a second. But yeah, but this lichen is just thriving on the outside of the space station.
I don't know, man. I think that would kind of make me nervous a little bit. That is a pretty extreme.
What's Creepshow? The one with Stephen King where he got the farm and got rid of all that moss.
That's good.
See, they're telling us that's going to happen.
No, absolutely. Oh, Jordy, you've done it now.
It itches so bad. I can take a bath. And the next thing he's covered in this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
Licking his tongue and shit.
They're just making mutated, radiated plant life.
Right.
See, that leads me down the road, too. It's like, that's a plant, pretty much.
Yeah.
That means most likely that made me think about, no, this took me down a weird road.
Of course.
This is even the main article, and I'm going down weird roads
right,
already.
Right.
You know, like how they have reports of walking trees?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What if them are actually aliens, and aliens are already here? Because our own government proved that lichen can survive in space, getting rads and rads and pure solar radiation. Right. Who's not to say that they're not already here? The aliens are trees, and they've been here for hundreds of thousands of years, and we just haven't noticed.
Yeah, you don't pay attention because it's a tree.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's not a bad plan, actually. It's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah. But then what are all the vegetarians going to do? They're pissed.
Right.
They're going to be the ones to start the war with alien species, vegetarians.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
This is good celery.
It is horrible. They're all going to die.
But don't worry.
Should have eaten the cow.
Our government has done wonderful things, too. I got a lot of articles. We've been lacking in articles. Right. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence. You know what they taught? They taught at, where the hell is that? Either way, ChatGPT will use that. They're teaching it how to lie.
Oh, good.
That's
good.
A perfect thing to do.
Good.
And they taught it how to go rogue and how to lie.
That's a fantastic
Then they figured
plan.
Out, we really can't stop this.
Wait a minute. Maybe this wasn't the best idea.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Let's see.
We thought the best way to contain it would be to put it into a Boston Dynamics gun-toting robot dog. So we don't see where this could go around.
No.
Are you one of the evil gun-toting robot dogs? No. Oh, well, it wouldn't lie.
Yeah.
No, we taught it.
No,
that
but they're
too.
Actually, it's been the last couple days. This is articles from actually from last week.
Oh, shit.
But they're actually talking about how they're actually teaching AI how to lie. I'm like, what purpose does that serve? We want it to be truthful. We expect other humans to be truthful. So if we're making something, wouldn't you want truth out of that person?
Well, you know, if you can get it to do it if you
it's
don't
like, why would somebody, why do you want somebody to lie to you? Like me saying I'm not sexually attracted to you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we know that's bullshit. Everybody knows that. I think it rolls under the, I wonder if we can do that. So we do. Not really thinking it all the way through of maybe whether you should or not. I would say it falls under that. Look at that. We've taught it to convincingly lie. Did you?
See, but it's like the really litmus test would be like, I want you to tell me red and blue square. How many red squares are there?
Yeah, right, right.
Once you start saying two red squares, you're like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
How long has it been lying to you? Right. How would you know? How would you know if it was lying to you in the first place?
Yeah.
You can't. There's no facial expressions. There's no tics. Because you can tell. You can look at somebody. You know somebody well enough. You can look at him and say, hey, he always does this when I know he's lying just from past experience.
Right, right.
This doesn't have that.
No, it's just going to spout things out at you.
Yeah. That you want to hear.
Yeah. Like, Jesus. Nah, that's just a bad idea. Holy fuck, what a bad idea.
Man, we should run a government oversight committee. Your ideas need to come by us scientists. We'll tell you if it's bad or not.
That's just, there's just nothing good about that idea. I just don't see it. Like I said, the only thing I can figure is they wanted to see if they could. So they're going to.
Haven't they watched Jurassic Park?
Again, there's a litany of things you should have read or seen at this point that tell you this was probably a bad fucking plan. But they're going
to
do it anyways.
Actually, I'm starting to think with all the articles I've read lately about scientists doing stuff they know is going to end up bad and doing it anyway. I think these guys are, I'm a nerd. I'm serious. I'm a giant nerd.
Right.
But these are the guys that are locked in the basement next to their chemistry set. Don't even know what a TV is or something. And never seen a movie in their life.
You know, it'd be a good idea. No, you don't. You don't know what they had, a good idea.
That's the only way somebody conceivably could do that. They would have to be totally, either that or totally psychos, sociopaths.
It's just completely detached from the idea that it could do that. I don't know.
Or they suffer from a really bad God complex.
which is possible,
and it's
too.
Like, yeah, I made this, it won't turn on me.
Yeah, I'm sure everything will be fine.
Well, maybe these scientists can help us figure out why they're doing what they are, but I think, okay, so switching topics here. Remember the Taos hum? We talked about that.
What?
The Taos hum?
Oh, yeah.
Well, guess where they're hearing it now?
Oh. Oh.
In northeast Lincolnshire. The source of this, it's actually, I just read this article today. The source of the mysterious humming noise plaguing the residents of northeast Lincolnshire town may never be discovered, the council has said. People in Emmingham say they have heard the low-level sound for a number of years. Northeast Lincolnshire Council said its investigation has drawn a blank. Chloe Eccles has lived in the town centre for 6 years. She said had considered moving away from the noise. As the years have gone on, I've carried on hearing it, and I thought I was crazy, but other people can hear it too, especially in the last couple months. It got really loud, she said. There's nothing that blocks it out. It's constant. There have been suggestions that it could be coming from nearby factories, oil refineries, or underground cables. Others think the source might be wind or solar farms. A council spokesperson said after initial contact with partners operating in the Emmingham area, they'd so far drawn a blank, although it could be coming from outside the borough. The council said it would continue to work with residents, but added any queries about the noise must constitute a statutory nuisance for formal action to be instigated. Dr. Matt Bernard, an expert in acoustic ecology who looks at how people relate to sound in the environment, said the source was likely to be man-made. I can't give a definite answer. It has to be something quite loud and powerful, he said. These things can have a range of sources. In rare cases, it could be a geological, but typically it could be industrial sources or traffic. My inclination is said it will have some sort of industrial source, but it'll be hard to pin down because the sound behaves strangely. Excuse me. Dr. Bernard, who works at the University of Hull, said that if that was the case, there was a responsibility to try and sort it out. Rachel Sneed, who has lived in Emmingham for 5 years, said the sound affected her a lot, and she hopes the source would be identified soon. It's like a droning noise that goes on and on and on. She said, I can hear it over the telly, the rain, and the wind. The town is not the first to report mysterious sounds. Villagers in Homefield, West Yorkshire, said in 2022 they were being tortured by a hum, but Collardale Council was unable to find the source. One of the more interesting ones is the Taos hum, which took place in Taos, New Mexico, yeah, which is in the early 90s. They never did figure out what that is, and it still goes on to this day. Then you have the Auckland hum. In 2006, Tom Moore, then Massey University of Auckland, New Zealand, made several recordings that appeared to be the Auckland hum. His previous research used simulated sound had indicated, and the hum was around 56 hertz. Then you have other ones, 2012, you have St. Louis, Missouri, still going on. Then you have 2023, the Omagh and Northern Ireland has the same home.
Hmm. Yeah, I just, I don't know. That is one of those just oddball things. It just,
because you would think they'd be able to find it. It's like, hey, here's a large factory. Because they did have one, they like right. up in Vancouver, in Canada, they figured it out. It was a blast furnace from this big foundry.
Yeah.
Because the foundry closed up and the home went away.
Yeah.
But you think they'll be able to find the source of it?
Yeah, something. And the weird thing is not everybody hears it.
Yeah. That's typically that's one of the
weird things is that not everybody hears it. And it's not like it's such a weird hertz. You know, it's within a normal hertz range mm-hmm. that people would hear. And that's what's always weirded me with those. Like, not everybody, you can be standing right there and 3 out of, you know, 10 people hear it. The other 7 are just like, what the hell are you talking about? We don't hear it.
Yeah, had one too many rock concerts.
Yeah, you know, what do you got going on here?
It's like, I wonder if it's like, you ever seen that X-Files movie, that television program where they had like Bryan Cranston, where they had that and he was affected by the hum that drove him insane. What? Then it basically ended up just popping his eardrum, so he basically went deaf.
Yeah. I actually watched it not too long ago. I don't know.
That's interesting.
I just don't know on that one. You know, like I said, the Taos has been going on for many years now.
Yeah.
And it's like, you think if there was something mechanical,
they would have pinned it down.
They would have, you know, figured out if it was a normal mechanical industrial noise.
Yeah.
Not saying it isn't something industrial from underground, maybe, that we have no idea, which is why we can't find it. But yeah, no, it's just weird that, and it's not even like, oh, these are places that are just similar. No, these are vastly different locations this happening. Auckland, Ireland.
Opposite sides of that globe.
Yeah, I mean, they're completely different areas, whole three different continents right there. You know what I mean? It's... I don't know if we're going to figure out what it is either. I really, at this point, I just don't know if we will. You'd think there would be some kind of, because we have so many high-tech devices for picking up different waves and everything else. You'd think they would be able
to zone in on it. Yeah, because at my job, they have people come through that, Roche come through. And they're able to pinpoint what piece of machine is making the most noise.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
To you, it doesn't seem that loud, but they're like, yeah, this would have like 800 decibels.
Right.
When it's running, you're like, okay. And the others, and it's usually the smallest thing. It's really weird.
Yeah. It'd be an oddball thing. But yeah, you think you'd be able to have some way to record this and track it.
Yeah.
You know, with the technology we have with different stuff. It just seems odd to me. In 90s, I can understand, yeah, we maybe don't have it. At this point, we've got a lot of crazy tracking bullshit as far as reading different light wavelengths, sound wavelengths, and we can't find anything that picks it up to be able to trace this back to some location. You know, I don't know. It boggles my fucking mind.
See, this is what scientists need to worry about. This is what they need to figure out instead of trying to make an AI that lies.
Yeah, right.
This would be a priority. Figure out what's causing this annoying hum sound.
train some AIs to track this down.
There you go.
Do something. Put them to use before they take us over.
Yeah.
Do something with it, man. Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. The craziest thing I saw this week was actually caught, they believe, the first ever footage of a pretty much newborn great white. This is something we've never caught. We know they exist, obviously, because they grow up. But it's usually so far out and remote where they actually give birth. But yeah, no, it's kind of cool. They got footage of this little baby.
Oh, he's so cute.
And I was like, oh, that's pretty goddamn cool. Yeah, I pretty much avoided news stuff for the most part in the last week. I have been for a while. I'm on a no news cycle again. Go in streaks.
That's good for you. You gotta watch
the news. Right. I just don't pay attention.
It tells you what's going on.
Yeah, sure it does.
Like this article. We're gonna take this article is really cool. I just happened to stumble across this.
Mm.
We're gonna take the Wayback Machine and go back to 1986.
Oof.
Yeesh. I don't know. 86 sucked.
I had pretty good 86.
Not me. It was 1986 when the goo appeared.
Oh.
At first, it was a 500-meter-long smudge outside of Caracas, but it soon grew to conquer the roads of Venezuela's capital. An inch-thick, greasy black bob, as thick, slick as ice. To this day, no one knows what it was or where it came from. Just that it killed hundreds of people. Was it political sabotage? Aliens? This is the story of La Mancha Negra, or the Black Stain. First spotted by workers as they patched up a 30-year-old asphalt between the city and its airport, over two decades, a patch of mysterious slime soon grew to cover 8 miles of road. In the five years up to 1992, it reportedly claimed the lives of 1,800 drivers and passengers whose cars spun out of control on the giant slick. Yet, despite their apparent death toll never officially confirmed, there is much more we don't know about the black goo than we do. It seemed to be alive. La Mancha Negra contracted and expanded with the weather, growing when it was hot and wet, but shrinking when it was cold and dry. Although it claimed lives of the miles of road, it also lurked in tunnels and, incredibly, the uphill slope outside the airport. Some who saw it described it as gummy. Others avoided it at all costs. They can offer me double the fare, but if La Mancha Negra is bad, I won't drive, said the taxi driver Orlando Acevedo. It's not worth dying for. Another claimed to face the blob frequently. Driving with a La Mancha Negra is like driving in the Grand Prix. He said, you got to be careful or you'll die. Despite the Venezuelan government throwing what they said was millions of dollars at the problem, the mysterious glob was nothing if persistent. In 1994, 8 years after its first appearance and its death toll rising higher and higher, the Ministry of Transport and Communication attempted to wash away La Mancha Negra, working on the assumption it was a paste of oil and dust. It didn't work.
I said you couldn't just, like, scoop it away or
just
something?
Just hang on. They upped their game with pressure washers. When that didn't work, they tried scrubbing it away with detergent and repeatedly scraped away the top layer of the road, but the alien substance still appeared. When the government poured tons of pulverized limestone and oil stain to dry it up, residents complained the roads were too dusty and the air was unbreathable, but it worked for a while. 10 years later, in 1996, La Mancha Negra appeared again. The government consulted experts in the U.S., Canada, and European equipment. Equipment was brought in from Germany, which seemed to scar away at the substance until it reappeared again in 2001. Jesus. Two decades after its last appearance, we are no closer to understanding that what La Mancha Negra was or is. Conspiracy theories are rife as people ponder if it was just oil oozing from the asphalt or asphalt from overworked engine cars. A fungus? Maybe an alien fungus? This is a really old story, and there's lots of myth and realities about this, said the engineering professor, Dr. Ramana Krishnamurti, speaking to Popular Mechanics. The size and scope and timing of the oozing and then the repetitive after 5 years made it for a real mystery. For now, it seems the blob is dormant, and with little reporting from that time, evidence to help unravel the mystery is scarce. I figured you like that because it's like the stuff that movie you like.
Did nobody like try to sample it at some point?
Or why would they do that?
Like it just it.
They probably did samples and they don't want to know you like yeah, we took samples.
Right.
We can't tell the people in the world what this actually is.
Or possibly even worse, they still have no idea what that is. You know, they're pulling up testing and everything and they're like, yeah, this does not match anything we fucking know.
Watch it be like, this is a gray ooze from, like, nanotechnology. This is the last previous civilization was here.
Right.
That's what killed them, and there's just that little pocket left.
It's finally bubbling back up.
Yeah.
To take its place again. Sorry, kids.
Yeah, it's just nanotechnology.
Jesus. No, that's horrifying. Good God. No, that's just so weird, man. I do remember hearing snippets of
never
stories
heard
of like that. But I didn't really look into it or anything. I was like, yeah, okay, that's oil slick. No, that's decidedly creepier than an oil slick.
Yeah.
Holy Jesus.
It goes away, comes back. I understand, like, it spreads out when it's hot and contracts
right,
when it's cold.
Right.
But then it disappears for, like, 5 years?
Yeah.
It comes back?
It's just like, man, I'm done for a while.
It kind of reminded me of the Creature from Phantoms by Dean
Koontz. Yeah.
That's what
like a motherfucker, baby.
That's what it reminds me of.
Exactly.
If I start seeing butterflies, I'm running.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no. Can you imagine like going into just like a culvert and all of a sudden it's just like, there's this loop laying everywhere. You're like, oh, shit.
Or again, we're going back to this twice tonight. We're talking about Creepshow, the black ooze from
the raft.
The raft.
Yeah. Like in Stephen King's story.
That was a terrible way that one chick died, half her face
off. I love that. I love the original story and I loved how they did it on film. So that was terrible. I was pretty happy with
it. She was really cute, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I watch that show pretty regularly.
Well, now we know why.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I like that. Good times.
Yeah. So tonight, folks, we're going to cover this little known thing. I doubt if anybody's ever heard of it. The Chronovisor.
Yeah.
Never. Nobody's ever heard of it, right?
No. No, no. It's random.
Just something that has to do with the Vatican.
Creepypasta.
Never. Vatican would never hide anything from us.
No, they haven't yet.
I'll give everybody a brief overview of the Chronovisor, then we'll go from there. The Chronovisor, Italian Benedictine monk Pellegrino Ernte claimed to have used a time viewer, which could film the past without sound, called a Chronovisor, to obtain
photographic. Man,
maybe you should just read it. I can't talk today. I should not be drinking beer and trying to do this.
I don't make word.
No make word. To obtain photograph of the crucifixion of Christ and view scenes from ancient Rome. God damn it. Including a performance of the Last Play Thesis. According to author Paul J. Nahin, a short story by Horace Gold called The Biography Project, published in Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, may have influenced Arrigny's claim. According to Guardian writer Mark Pilkington, Enric Glory was short-lived. Another magazine revealed that Christ was a reverse image of a postcard. This is just, we're doing broad terms here, then we're going to it.
Yep.
Reverse image of a postcard from Santa del Amaro, whatever town, in that town of... All right, I'm putting a petition out on the planet-wide. Words cannot have 47 syllables and 87 letters in it.
Yeah.
Coloba Valencia, more recently doubted... doubt has been cast on his transcriptions of thesis, and an apparent deathbed confession has also surfaced. So basically, this coronavirus does not exist. Should we go back to the whole story like it originally sounded off before they ruined it for everybody, saying it's bunk?
Yeah.
No. We'll let you, what do you
go? Redhead.
Go redhead?
Originally, the story, most of this actually comes from an O2 novel. Well, not a novel, but a book.
Yep.
By Father Francois Brunet, who wrote a book 2002.
Okay, I guess I looked up this book. You know how much they're selling copies of this motherfucker for?
Fucking ridiculous.
$400. Yeah, and it's not even in English.
Yeah, no, it's all in French.
Yeah.
The book was Le Nouveau Mystère de Vatican. It's the new mystery of Vatican. And in it, he talks that he had actually been in contact with Father Pellegrino Ernte. And it was in the 60s he had actually told him about this. They had actually met they were in Venice on boats, and they were talking, and that it steered towards science, since both these guys actually have a background in science. Ernte actually has a background in exorcism as well.
Mm.
Which is interesting. I was like, oh, well, that's different. They got into this topic of science, and he started telling him about this device that him and 12 other scientists actually had created, which is a chronovisor. What it did was it was able to look at moments in the past and actually record them either in video or still image. Typically at that point it recorded in still, mm-hmm. as opposed to video, but you could actually see it as it was going on. Interesting enough, two of the big scientists that he said actually worked on this were Enrico Fermi, who was a Nobel winning physicist
from 1938.
In 1938. And also a little guy called Wernher von Braun.
Never heard of him. Never heard of the man.
Who was a Nazi scientist who helped develop the V2s. And then in Operation Paperclip was drug over here and said, "You speak English now. You're American." And helped us create NASA and all of the our space program.
There's no chicanery going on.
Right.
I was kind of looking for like a permission of, I was waiting for that word Smithsonian to show up.
Right. Like, really? Well, they're superseded by Vatican.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, no, they he had told him, you know, he had this device, they'd used it. they had at the Vatican, where he said he'd actually seen the crucifixion of Christ and various other things. Basically, the way they describe the machine being set up is actually a bunch of cathode rays. You're dealing with an antenna, and there are three metal antenna that are of an unknown metal, is what they've said. They've never extrapolated what it's actually made out of, but it's an unknown metal. It actually has a...
Byzantine.
That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, no, yeah, they have a dial, which allows you to dial it into whatever era you're trying to look at, and then has a screen that you can watch, and then a recording device, which is basically a film camera.
Yep.
To take stills of what is on this TV screen. They said, in essence, how it works is it is picking up the light and sound waves from all of time that are floating around in space, and you dial in on it,
now,
and it picks them up.
Okay, I'm going to just stop you right here.
Yeah.
Because this, I'm going to take you off on a tangent, because this article just came out in the news recently that kind of deals with this.
Hmm.
You know, like how they're saying this is bunk. After reading this article, I'm putting more faith in this, because scientists right now, our physicists and quantum physics, are saying glass can make, if you look at glass the way it works, like, yeah, you can look forward and backwards in time with glass.
Hmm.
On the quantum level, it goes forward and backwards.
Okay. Yeah, interesting.
And what are cathodes made out of?
Yeah.
Giant glass tubes. Yeah. So, okay, sorry, continue.
Interesting, actually. But yeah, no, that's the basics of how this thing worked. They would tune into an era and kind of fine-tune it with the antenna to what exactly they wanted to see. And according to him, they went through looking at many of the big stories from the Bible times. The fall of Sodom and Gomorrah is one of them. He said they saw... the Last Supper, I think it was on his list of things that they had gone back and seen.
Crucifixion.
The crucifixion. But yeah, no, it's one of those where he had said this, and he's like, yeah, we can use this to prove that these things are real. This is factual history, not, you know, fictional religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ernetti actually maintained this story until he died. He died in 1994. Now, according to most people, he maintained this story that, yes, the Vatican actually has this device. It is in lockdown at the archives, because they don't want this to get into the wrong hands and people misuse it.
How could you? Okay. Let's say
propaganda.
Let's say this thing. Okay. Propaganda. Good call. But first of all, you have to find it in this whole underground section of the Vatican, like we did the Forbidden Places.
Yeah.
It's got 53 miles of bookshelves that we know of. That we know of. Yeah, they actually say they have that many miles. But they
have to figure out the locked off building rooms and everything else down there. One interesting side note, in 1988, the Vatican actually did put out a decree that anyone using a device that would be like that, it would be excommunicated if they were ever seen using it. Even though they deny that it does not exist. But they did put out an official decree from the Vatican that anybody uses a device like is described in a chronovisor, you will be excommunicated, and basically you are kicked out of heaven in the Catholic belief. Seems like a weird decree to put up if it's bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's no
one
sense.
Little thing where I was just like, why would you do that then? Now, that those things being said, there has been a lot of negativity been thrown at this story, trying to tear it apart in these years. I don't know, man. There's so much things they've torn apart. The pictures, because they did actually release a photo that was supposed to be a picture of Jesus at the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
He did say he, Ernetti had said he actually took a picture, a still of the Last Supper, and kept it for himself as a memento. It has never shown up. It's, as far as I know, it's never surfaced. But there are a lot of people saying that this photo of Jesus at the crucifixion was, one, it was a photo taken of a prop from somewhere. And then there's also
a postcard that I mentioned.
No, that's a different. There were like three different. There were two or three different things that they're like, oh, no, that's what this is. And yeah, the one that everybody kind of landed on was it's a mirrored image of a postcard from, I don't know if it's Colombia or where this thing came from.
Yeah.
And they do have a picture of that. And yeah, I will say the picture is very, very similar to the photo. Does it completely prove it wrong? No. But it doesn't look good. And yeah, then you have like the confession, which is
there's conflicting parts in that confession. Cause people are saying, some saying he wrote a letter to the Pope saying, yes, this is what actually happened.
Yeah.
And there's some saying that was a deathbed confession because there is such a thing as called sin eaters in the Vatican.
Yes.
That is actually a thing. You, no matter what you've done right before you die, you can confess all your sins, and you'll be absolved, so you can get into heaven. Some say that something like that happened, but I'm like, after reading that article, just doing research in this article about time teleporting, I thought it was bunk, but now I'm putting more stock into it,
right?
Just because of what quantum scientists are saying about glass.
Well, even to me, some extent, what we're still finding out about, say, memory retention in quartz. And things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it's possible? Yeah. Yeah, right away, my thoughts on this device was like, nah, it makes for a great story. But I don't know. It's a really cool idea. And it's probably not the craziest thing that they probably would potentially have
in the archives. Didn't Alexander Bell try to make the grave phone where he's like, and like we basically try to talk to dead people.
Yeah. Well, it's even some of the early phonograph that was really what it was an attempt to speak to those that were dead.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people, especially in that time frame. Like we've talked before, there's a lot of spiritualism at that time. But yeah, no, there were a lot of people, and there are plenty of inventions that we have now that I think started as things like that, where it's like we're trying to find a way to talk to dead people that have passed. Something in the past we're trying to get a hold of. Yeah, there is the story on this, because they did, I think they released a drawing of basic blueprints of this thing, but there's nothing listed as to how to actually make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things, the 1947 novella short story that they said, yeah, they basically just took this drawing from this sci-fi story. Yeah, that's been one of the complaints too, is why didn't they tell anybody how to make it, to make a new one to prove them right? Well,
if you had that ability, I'm like, they're just saying, oh, we're just going back in time. Well, no one, like, it came out in the 50s when this first got mentioned, right?
It would have been pre-6 because Brune says Ernetti told him in the 60s that this thing had, and they'd already been working with this. So I'm assuming they'd probably started it post-World War II. So early 50s probably.
Yep.
Is when because they don't have an actual time frame of when this thing was actually made.
Can't look at my notes.
But considering Wernher von Braun was involved and it was post, I have to assume it was post-Nazi.
Yeah.
Even though,
well, okay, we're gonna go down this road. Since
we're assuming
the Catholic Church and the Nazis had a really, I'm not saying either one was bad, but there is actually documentation where the Catholic Church and the SS were really in cahoots together and really tied up.
Yeah,
because they offered them rat routes out of Germany during the fall so they could get to South America.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's a controversial topic. Even to this day, it's a very controversial thing.
Yeah.
Especially with as many Catholics as there are.
Yeah.
And they certainly, at this point of 2020 vision, you don't really want to be associated with the Nazis. A lot of the Swiss...
I'm not throwing Catholic. I'm talking,
no.
Americans are actually under the gun for this, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially on Jeep. Amazing thing about Jeep is I actually have this book. I've read it. The Jeep Corporation was made famous during World War II.
Yeah.
You know who else was using Jeep parts? Germany.
Yeah.
And we were selling them parts to make sure their Jeeps kept running. So you had an American company selling to both sides.
Yeah, well, it's the dogs of war theory. You know, it's like, hey, we're going to sell to whoever's paying.
Yeah, and basically they looked a blind eye at them because it wasn't weapons or anything. It was just a vehicle.
Yep.
I'm like, that's the whole point.
There are people still need vehicle parts.
Yeah. And Jeep was a really bad one during that time, too. And that's right. The Catholic thing. And there's the Catholics just started to blame. There's a lot of people to blame.
Right. Like I said, even going into World War II, you had the Swiss who were neutral. They stored a lot of stolen gold from the Nazis. Let's be real. And then it just kind of disappeared after that. They're like,
they traded
it
for chocolate.
We don't know what that is. We didn't take any gold. Didn't you? Didn't you there? Yeah.
But back to this
middle of the road guys.
Yeah. Back to this coronavirus thing. There's so many big names involved. I actually want to say this thing exists to this day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it ever existed at all, it is still there.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with that. If it is real, I guarantee they did not destroy it.
No.
No way in hell did they destroy it if it's got that kind of potential. No way. The weird thing for me, though, is why have they not used it to put out stuff with especially, say, the last 15 years, 20 years, there has been kind of a large rise up against Christianity. Mm-hmm. They've been, for good or bad, don't matter to me, but they do, like, here in the U.S. and that. They're an easy target that you can make fun of all you want, and nobody's going to come after you for it. And they have taken a lot of hits for that. You'd think that, and especially like the last 10 years or whatever, even Catholicism has said, yeah, our numbers are going down. We want to get them up. If you had this ability to take these pictures of this stuff, would you not put them out? You know what I mean? Be like, hey, this is, here he is. This is really what happened. Or are they seeing things that if they don't want you to see, you know what I mean?
I think that's the whole point you're seeing.
It's like there's a whole lot of,
it's like the French caves in France you're talking about. Miles and miles of it. But, oh, wait, you only can see this 20-foot section.
Yeah, we're going to make replicas of what we've got down here.
Yeah.
There you go. That's all there is to see.
It's all tiny.
And like I said, there's, again, this is a controversial thing too, but there are, and it is a fact, there are other books that were written that were not put in the Bible. We know this is a fact. It is not a conspiracy. They chose, these are the ones that are going to comprise our Bible. This is what we're putting in. These are the lost books that were not included. A lot of them are innocuous, like, oh, here's three more fucking writings from one of the other apostles. Like, yeah, we don't need that. It's redundant. It's the same thing John said here. You know, we let John talk twice. So, I mean, you know. But, yeah, there is a lot of other stuff that was put in the Bible that you have to understand. Again, don't take this as an attack, anybody who's a Christian. The Bible itself is put together by people.
Yeah.
Period. They picked and chose what would represent what they wanted out of the religion as their book. That is what it is. Things that may be contradicted or put things in a bad light they didn't want. Well, that book didn't make it. Sorry, you didn't make the cut. A lot of books showing the humanity of Jesus as a child growing up.
Them you would think
are taken out.
Oh, that's what bothers me the most. We're going on this rant now.
Right.
You have the birth of Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden he's like, whatever, 20 years old.
Yeah, 18, 19, 20.
I'm pretty sure that kid had his whole life, if this was chronicled, of every time he pooped. They would chronicle to see when he would start being able to do miracles. The moment he started doing miracles, you'd think that would be like, boom, there we go.
Oh, is that there are stories of him being like 10.
but and, good miracles.
Yeah, and again, one of the big stories, he was 10 years old, another kid and him got in an argument. He smoked the kid because he's 10 and didn't understand his abilities. Yeah. And you know, brought the kid back. But it's like, we don't want you seeing that side of Jesus. He's more godly than man, so let's not put those stories in. And to me, those would be interesting. That makes him much more relatable. But that's what they were looking for when they were putting the Bible together. They were looking for a Messiah.
Yeah.
And so you put in the good stories, not the bad. There's a lot of things that are cut out. And like with a lot of things, there's things maybe they don't, that they have seen, that they don't want put out. But even then, you think you can pick and choose the good pictures you wanted to put out, and you know, show them that it's not white Jesus.
I'd be amazed. Like I remember, like this is all good and everything, but they're probably looking at the picture. What's that in the background?
Yeah, right. What's that thing?
Yeah. What's that thing? Why is that thing like towering over the other people like by 15 feet?
Right. Oh no.
No, can't have that.
Not
God dang Nephilim in there.
Right. Yeah. What's this Nephilim doing here? Could you have him move? It already happened, sir. We can't control what they're doing.
See, but my question is, okay, let's say they can go back in time to that, let's say the crucifixion. We'll use that example.
Right, right.
Wasn't there mentions of angels at the crucifixion?
Yes.
Now, follow me here. What if the angels that were at the crucifixion were actually the people that were citing this with this machine?
Oh.
And they were like the ghostly images of it, and they were that what people considered image because they were not actually corporeal.
Right.
So if you had these people from the future looking back on this past event, they mistaken them as angels, and that's why there's angels at the crucifixion.
Oh. Ooh, yeah, the waves start going both ways, inexplicably. Oh, yeah, that's an interesting idea, actually. But, interesting.
I just came up with that. I'm thinking back of all of my Bible courses I had.
Yeah, right, I'm like,
there was angels there. If I'm wrong, there wasn't angels there, but still. Yeah. And they also said angels are at Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, maybe it's people. Maybe it's just a really bad loop we're all in.
Right. Well, there again, you look at, it depends on how you believe time works.
Yeah.
You know, is it all happening all at the same time? Or is it a conceptual start to finish
linear,
you know, a linear path. If it's all potentially happening all at the same time, I see that much more possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point you do have an energy link to some extent to this time period, to that time period.
And maybe all the humming you're hearing is caused by the time machines everybody's trying to build.
Oh, shit.
The government.
Everybody's trying to get their own.
They're like, we can't find the sound of this hum. Stop talking. Talking about going back in time.
we're trying to see what happened. No, I love the concept. Seriously, there's a lot of things I would like to go back and see. And not necessarily physically go there.
This is a what if question. If you could go back in time, what's one event you would want to see personally?
Oh, man. Whew.
Just one. And just you can come back to, just so you know.
Right. Yeah. It's not a one-way trip.
No.
Oh, man. Honestly, I don't know. There's so much cool shit. Like, I would love to see, is there a meteor blasting fucking killing off these dinosaurs?
God damn it, you took mine, fucker.
I would love to see, actually go back and watch the pyramid construction and be like, okay, this is definitively what they fucking did.
Yeah.
To my chagrin and Giorgio Tsoukalos fucking smiling, he's like, told you, aliens. Like, ah, son of a bitch, he was right. There they are. But yeah, no, there's a lot of things I would love to go back and actually see. I don't necessarily need to be there, but I would like to see, just to be like, boom. Okay, now we know.
See, now this is what happened. Since you put that in the ether, you need to go back and look at all that talking about putting the periods up and see if there's a chubby angel present. There's a chubby god present.
We found a chubby. I think we think it's like a Ra's stepkid or something. We're not sure. It's portly, like a small son, really.
No. Jesus. Mine would be, I'm sure we already mentioned it, I would go back to the moment right before impact and the KT event.
Right, right.
When that and the Chicxulub crater.
Yep.
Just because of the fact, I want to see if there is actually advanced civilization ruins at the time. See what was actually there.
Right. See, and there again, I want to go skipping through some of those millions of years where we don't have a whole lot of record of like, okay, what was here? What was there another civilization that was built up here before we got
and
here?
And left and said,
oh. Yeah, you know, things like that. Yeah, see, those are all things I would be like, oh, I want to go back and see that. Was it? Because I do believe there were civilizations that were here before us, and I want to be proved right for that. on a purely selfish note, I would like to go back and walk through Toy Isles of, like, 1984 again, but that's just a totally selfish time travel idea.
All right, so...
Not a magnanimous, you know... gift to humanity. It's like, no, man, I want to feel a Star Wars wreck again. I just want to feel it.
You know how I'm a big believer in that? Something like if this happened, they got to put out the karmic vibes or make movies and that.
Right, saying, hey, we did this,
so it does come back to bite them. And I just happened to click when you said 1950. Because oh, no. I'm like, because we did the same research. You can talk better tonight. That's why you're doing most of the talking.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. But like they said, the first discussion was in the 50s, right?
First discussion with him, early 60s.
Early 60s, okay.
He just doesn't put a year down, but early 60s is when he apparently talked to Bruni.
But you know what? You ever heard of this movie called Paycheck with Ben Affleck?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yep. Paycheck is a science fiction novelette by American writer Philip K. Dick.
Yep.
Written in July 31st, 1952, and first published in June 1953, issue of Imagination. The story was later made with various alterations into the film Paycheck in 2003, directed by John Woo and starring Ben Affleck.
Yep.
Basically, a guy goes, works for this big think tank, gets a girl, gets some money at the end. But if you were to read the actual story, the ending's a lot different.
Yeah, a lot of Phillips stuff gets changed in film because it doesn't work very well in film.
I think this ending would have worked really well.
Now, they will.
Yeah.
Earlier times, they still wanted a happy Hollywood ending 90% of the time. Yeah. Well, a lot of his stuff does not end well.
No. But I'm just going to say, this is the plot summary of the short novelette.
Yeah.
Jennings, a talented electronic engineer, has accepted a secret contract with Ruthic Construction. The terms of the contract say that he'll work for 2 years on a secret project, after which he will have his memory of time erased and will be paid an inordinate sum. It is implied that this type of working contract has replaced non-disclosure agreements in business and is commonplace. He wakes up to find that during his tenure, he decided to forego the payment of money and instead received an envelope of trinkets. Ruthic states that this is in itself not unusual, that people often change their mind as their method of payment during the course of the contracts. Soon after exiting the building, he discovers that 2 years he has forgotten. America has become a police state. Really? He is seized by the security police who want to know what Ruthic is doing. One of the trinkets he received as payment enables his escape from the police. Jennings soon realizes that the only way to secure his safety is to blackmail Ruthic as to who will be able to shield him from the government. Using several more of the trinkets, he is able to make his way back to Ruthic's hidden facility. He has also realized that during his tenure at Ruthic Industries, he worked on a machine that allowed people to view the future, and the trinkets are part of a carefully crafted plan to ensure his survival. Now, this is what's different. Now, this is different than the movie. The movie, Ben Affleck gets a girl and the money, because the money had a lottery ticket in the parrot's cage.
Yeah.
This is how the book ends. When he finally enters Ruthic's complex, it dawns on him that there is much more going on than the construction of an illegal device that can show the future. Ruthic is building an army to support a revolution which would free the country from an oppressive government. The story concludes with Jennings successfully blackmailing Ruthic into allowing him to join the company in a partner-like capacity.
Yeah. There's a lot of Philip K. Dick stories that involve totalitarian police states. Man in the High Tower, they did a series on Prime of, which is based off of Philip K. Dick book. I love himself.
But the reason I'm bringing this up, because Philip K. Dick, if you look at his history, he was he believed in God, but not God as we know it. He believed that God was a universal. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
And not just one being. He made this God God made everything, but it wasn't a figure.
Yeah.
Like it were portrayed in most religions. And the funny thing is, he visited the Vatican a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
Right away. And I'm like, could have been him saying, they're like, hey, we tell you this. That's what you do. We're going to let it come out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. His later
because
life.
Because if you look at it, this movie cost $7 million to make. Yeah. Whatever. And only made like $500,000. It was a complete bomb.
It tanked. Really good, but it tanked.
But a lot of movies, if you look at it, like in the conspiracy world, the movies that they're telling you about what's going on, big budget, never made it talked about again because they bombed.
Right.
This could be the same thing. They say I made a novel. Marvel was short story and like, oh, no one really saw it. We got to do it again.
Yeah.
And then the movie comes out, big budget, tanks.
Yeah.
But like, hey, we put that karma out there. They can't come back on us.
Right. We put it out. It's not our fault. People didn't want to watch it.
Yep.
Sorry.
We told you what we're doing.
Yep. I don't know. Philip Dick had a interesting life anyways. His later years got marred by a lot of stuff because he was coming out and saying a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't like it. And they kind of started labeling him as a crackpot up until his death. In the sci-fi, cybery writing world, he's still one of the fucking godfathers.
Yeah.
William Gibson, Philip K. Dick, big boys of the
cyberpunk.
What would become the cyberpunk era stuff. It is kind of weird. Like I said, I'm gonna have to go back and look too with some of the stuff before he died, because he was coming out and saying a lot of controversial stuff that, and they just kind of tore him apart. And part of me isn't like he was like, I'm second guessing all this shit I was involved with. I'm going to come out now. And then they just basically trashed the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's an interesting idea. I never. Interesting.
I bring the interesting to this podcast.
Right, man.
Usually when I walk in the door, he's like, did you guys tinfoil hat?
Yeah, right. What's going on here? I was told we were talking about some weird rabbits. And next thing you know, there's fucking. Who knows what? Giants and time portals and steps in the woods. And that's just where things roll.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't know on this one. There's enough little things on it that kind of, like I said, the Vatican decree, things like that. It's like, why would you put that out there if you didn't know this existed? You know? Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, it is a lot to try to think of as being real, you know what I mean? An ability to look, and like I said, you got this story now with Glass. At this point, it seems less sci-fi,
more
in this time frame because than it did 30 years ago.
I think this machine actually exists, or something similar to it exists,
something like it.
Because you gotta look back when it came out, say the 60s.
Yeah.
This was sci-fi. If you and me talking across to some guy in England, probably the general, and he's listening or whatever, that was unheard of. Like, how kind of radio? I'm like, no, I'm doing it from my own house. I don't have a radio tower or anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is, they were like, oh, that's speculative science fiction. Never happened.
Yep.
I think there's been so many people that have been trying to make these time machines. I think somebody actually did it because you need money and backing to do the most oddball things.
Right.
And who has the most money and backing?
Yeah.
Any religion out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, we're going to throw money at this. Then they're like, oh, crap. We did this. We can't have this.
And here's the thing. I think this version of seeing the past or future is much more realistic than actually being able to travel yourself through time.
I would have to agree to that. Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's impossible. I think it's a whole lot harder to pull off, and you need a lot more technical power, science know-how than what we have now to be able to do that. But as far as pulling, I mean, we know ourselves that television waves are still going out into the fucking universe
now
from the 50s. Whenever we clicked on the first TV, waves are out in the world.
Really interesting side note here. Do you know what the first, if aliens ever were to see our television program, you know who the first person we ever contacted?
Oh, who the hell was it? I do know that.
Who would be the first television person they would see?
I don't remember right now.
He had a little fucked up mustache.
Yeah.
The first little German dude with the mustache.
Yeah.
He's our ambassador.
Charlie Chaplin.
He's our ambassador to the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Carl Sagan used it in the movie Contact.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, this is the first. If aliens could get, once you see our TV waves, this is what they're going to see first. There's no there's no context to it because he doesn't know what happened, but we have the context.
Yeah, we know what it is. But like I said, we know those kind of waves are floating around out there. Yeah. The movie Explorers from 86, again, 86.
Again, sidetrack. They're going to remake that movie.
I heard that.
They better not.
I'm not. There again, I'm always.
They threatened it with the last Starfighter. They never did. Because everybody's like, no.
Well, they were going to make a sequel to it, which I was on board with. But yeah, no, it's. I'm always torn with the remake thing.
Yeah.
Because I love Explorers. I love that movie. It's a great movie. But yeah, as these aliens end up picking up our television waves, and that's how they've learned English and come down and send information to these kids who build this spaceship because these aliens want to hang out with humans. Is it Ethan Hawke?
River Phoenix.
River Phoenix. Yeah, no, it's...
I can't remember the third guy.
Yeah, but... It,
yeah, sorry. Sorry, guy.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, fun movie as hell. Yeah. I just worry how they would fuck up a new one. But there again, there it is. That's they were picking up our television waves. I mean, that's... A lot of our search with SETI in that is the concept of picking up waves from somewhere way out there. The same way we're sending waves out with technology and sound and everything else. I think it is much more believable to be able to pick up an image through time like that.
Yep.
Especially if you know how to work light and just there's a lot to it that is way above my pay grade of doing stuff.
Well, I'm just saying, too, if you look at just what's in the public right now, it's like we have invisibility cloaks.
Right.
That's dealing with light, and it's just refracting it.
Yep.
You can do amazing things with light, and you can look around corners of a building with lights. And I believe it can be done. I think this was done, but they couldn't travel back in time, but they could look at it.
Right, you can look at it. Look at our fiber optic stuff. We send information through fiber optics. It's optics. It is light that it's sending that information. Again, those, I think that is much more believable than, say, a Ray Bradbury.
Physically going back in time.
Yes, physically, the butterfly effect idea of going in time. While that is a really cool idea, there are so many paradoxes and shit that come up with actual physical time travel. Being able to see what has happened, I think is much more realistic and something that could be realized.
Yeah.
Even in 60s technology, they were at that time really, you're amping up into the satellite programs and things like that. That noisy car, that's all it is, so shut up. But yeah, no, these were things we were pushing at that time, was how do we speak over these distances? How do we get more visual images, real-time image, over distance? And these are things they were working on. It might be by accident that they came across this, and they're like, wait a minute, what's that?
Or it could be like they had ancient text on it. It's like, hey, what do these do?
Oh,
let's build this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a possibility,
This might be one of the more interesting topics, especially when you start talking about time travel. And this is, this chronovisor, it's, like it says, it lets you see back in time.
Yeah.
It's not the chrono machine. It's not the chrono telephone. It's the chronovisor. It lets you see. And I think this does exist.
Yeah. There's no audio to it. It is just picking up the visual of something that is happening. Granted, it's not going to probably be HD quality because of what you're trying. At this point, maybe it could be if they've done more fine tuning on how to zone into whatever wave it is that actually is carrying these images. But yeah, I'm still perplexed with how they figured out the alignment of like, okay, we'll move this dial.
Well,
this is
you gotta use the quartz crystal and the Rubidon and whatever.
Right. But yeah, it'd be like, well, dial it this way. Okay, we seem to be going farther back. And this is just like a trial and error of like, well, there's Rome.
They probably got like a black and white TV. Click. Click. Oh, it's a little bit clearer.
70s
move the antenna.
Style.
Get the tinfoil.
Ka-chunk. Ka-chunk. Oh, shit.
All right.
Don't wake anybody up, man. That's a really loud door clear channel changer.
So, Marty, have you got anything else for these wonderful folks?
No, man. This is just a really cool subject. Oh, yeah. Really cool topic to look into. Not a whole lot out there. No. I mean, realistically.
Yeah.
A lot of making your own guesses at things and just.
It's real. Don't let anybody tell you different.
Right.
You can tell them Rob Larson told you that's real.
Rob said it's real, too. Let us in.
Yep.
We're visiting the Vatican. We want to see it, man.
Yep. Let us in. All right, folks. You ain't got nothing else, Marty? No. You sure?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, folks. Have a good night. Bye. We'll be right back.